Maybe you just need to move forward starting today and see where your journey takes you.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it's a gift. And they come in funny-looking packages sometimes. Funny-looking packages.
This is Journey to There.
And here we are.
Here we are. And she's done an amazing job.
Where your host, Tracy DeForge, explores the messy, joyful, and often complicated intersection between personal and business growth.
I have total goosebumps still.
Keep it up. Whatever you're doing, don't change. Just keep it up.
Hello, I'm Tracy DeForge, and welcome to our newest episode of Journey to There, where we explore the intersection between personal and business growth. Our guest today is all about joy and finding your awesome. So, how awesome is that? Kelsey Abbott is an intuitive human design reader, a certified professional coach, instigator of joy, and the host of the Find Your Awesome podcast. She helps spiritual adventurers remember who they are and why they're here so they amplify their impact and send ripples of light across the planet, all with ease, joy, flow, magic, and miracles. She believes that the universe wants us to be sparkly AF and that joy is our natural state. When Kelsey isn't playing in her business, she's bringing curiosity, play, and joy to triathlon, a sport she races as an elite amateur. After a decade in Maine and 16 months of traveling around the U.S. in a small camper, Kelsey now lives in Sarasota, Florida with her husband. And in case you haven't guessed it by now, Kelsey is a manifesting generator, living her design and following the joy. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Tracy. It's great to be here.
When I discovered you, I was like, I have to have a conversation with Kelsey because she is my kind of girl.
People would ask me what I do, and I'd say, I help people find their awesome. And I could judge if they were my people or not by some people were like, what does that even mean? And they'd kind of walk away or be like, that doesn't mean anything. And then there are the people that were like, yes, tell me more.
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you one thing. I have experienced that look on other people's faces when they go, what are you talking about? And so, yeah, I try to avoid those kind of people myself, but it happens.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about your journey to getting to the place of A, just really identifying and knowing your joy, your own joy, and your path to your own joy. I really want us to dig into that because you have such an interesting background. And then also how and what was that pivot point that made you choose that path for your business? Because you are the ideal intersection of personal and business growth.
Yes, I am. I am my business. My business is me. Like they are so entangled that I can't separate them. But I started out my career as a marine biologist. I studied killer whales. And then I went on to work for the federal government. And it was when I was working for the government that I stumbled across this book, What Color Is Your Parachute? And people may be familiar with it. It's based on the Myers-Briggs typology. And there is an assessment in there. And I took the assessment, read that I'm an ENFP, or didn't just read. I understood that I was an ENFP. And it's resonated for me completely.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Myers-Briggs, can you break down the ENFP for our listeners who may not be familiar with that acronym?
I am pretty sure that it's extroverted, intuitive, feeling, perceiving.
Yes, I think that is accurate. And I think we might have the same, the exact same Myers-Briggs profile.
I already have gathered that we have quite a few similarities. I have a guess of your human design as well.
Good. I can, if you're guessing my human design, can't wait to hear about that. But we're talking about you right now.
Yeah. So I discovered that I am an ENFP. I read the description of it and was like, oh, this resonates with me so much. I am not made for working in a cage, which is what it felt like for me, working in a cubicle, working in like a city. It was not for me. And then I read about all the other types and I felt like, oh, they are meant for the work I'm currently doing. And then I was at a staff meeting and I looked around and was like, oh, they all love this. I don't have to do this. They can do this. Oh, okay. I'm out of here. And actually, it was very shortly after that I was offered a promotion and I said, thank you very much. Nope. I'm quitting.
Wow.
And I became a science writer, which meant I took scientific papers and made them fun and funny and accessible. And on the side, I was always coaching swimming. So it's coaching swimming, then that evolved into teaching group fitness and personal training and coaching triathlon. Science writing eventually started getting really big, and then all the funding got cut, and that's when I learned about life coaching. And this is so the condensed version, just for the record.
Well, that's okay. I mean, everyone knows I can't tell a short story, so the fact that you can in some reduced fraction is probably appreciated.
So then learned about life coaching and got into life coaching school, started coaching, started my business, started my podcast, learned about human design on my podcast, fell into that, and here we are. And like I said, that is the fastest version of that story ever.
Well, but, I have to ask you to bring in the triathlon because obviously I'm going to stumble on that the whole time because, and here's like legit for real, I have always wanted to, I've done one half marathon in my life running, obviously, but I love the idea of the triathlon. I always wanted to do that. This is going to sound a little crazy, but maybe this will flow into your reading of my human design. I really just always wanted to do the training for a triathlon. I never actually wanted to do the triathlon. Like the competitive side of it freaked me out with all the bikes next to each other and the swimming next to somebody, like in a competitive way. But I think the training for it would be like amazing. So I don't know what that says about me other than that I'm probably a little bit of an oddball, but I really want to hear about your experience as a triathlete.
Okay. Well, first of all, it means that we have even more in common than I knew already, because thanks to COVID, I haven't raced since 2019. Wow. And I love the training. I'm fit right now. I'm still training. I did a 2.5 hour ride and a 30-minute run earlier today.
Yes. Like congratulations for you keeping on pushing through, even though you didn't have the date of a race in mind. That says so much about your spirit.
That doesn't motivate me. It's my play. Swim, bike, and run and strength training. It's all very fun for me.
Okay. Well, I don't consider it my play, just so you know. Let's get that straight.
You might once you get into it.
Maybe.
I was in grad school when I did my first triathlon, and it was something I think I swam competitively in college and wasn't that familiar with triathlon at all. I'd heard about it, and I think I knew maybe one person who had done one. And I was always like, oh, someday I want to do triathlons. It's funny actually that it was, I want to do triathlons, not a triathlon. And right. Then I was in grad school and there was a triathlon to support the marine lab or something. It was like 3 weeks after we started school. And there were six of us piled into a car in the first week of school. You know, I'm meeting these people for the first time. We're all crammed into a car and someone says, let's do the triathlon. And I was like, wait, what? I always had this vision of I was going to do my first triathlon. Like I was going to train for months for this thing and I was going to do really well in it. But you're saying this thing is in 3 weeks? Okay. Whoa. And I just like closed my eyes and jumped and I absolutely fell in love with it. And then the next year when I was doing my master's thesis, like finalizing everything. So I'm in that intellectual space a ton. I was like, I can't just focus on this. I need to have something else to focus on. So that's when I signed up for another race and really truly focused on the training. And so I got that long training in and I've been hooked ever since.
Wow, that is so great. And well, and living in Sarasota, Florida probably lends to some really great training opportunities because A, it's such a beautiful area, but you're right there on the water. And so you can do a lot of swimming training in that way, I would guess.
Actually, we have red tide right now.
Oh,
so there's no swimming in the ocean. And thankfully, we live really close to our rail trail, so I bike and run on that. But riding a bike on the road in this area, maybe in the whole, it kind of feels like in the whole country right now, is not the safest thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, on to more design and following your joy. So tell us, what exactly does it mean that you are digging into human design, and tell us some of the facets of human design, because I know there's a lot of different types, like you're the manifesting generator and there are reflectors and there's some other archetypes, if you will, of the human design. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah. So human design, it's such a funny term. And when I first heard it, someone just said, do you know human design? And I was like, what, like anatomy? I like had no idea what she was talking about.
And with a science background, I would imagine your brain would go there first.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, yeah, but I don't understand this. And then all she told me is you need to know your birthday or birth time. And I was like, okay, I know that, but I still don't understand like what the purpose is. And then I did some Googling, still didn't know what it was, but I found my chart and found out that I was a 4-6 manifesting generator. Didn't have any idea what that meant. Did a little more Googling, still didn't have any clarity until I read manifesting generators are warrior Buddhas. And that, my head was like, I don't really know what to do with that. But my body and soul were like, yes. Oh my God, that resonates so deeply. So human design is this, it's called a science. I'm not going to get nitpicky about the word. But the idea is that our souls, before we were born, our souls picked out a whole bunch of different gifts to make sure we have all the tools we'll need to change the world in our own unique way. And it seals the deal on that soul blueprint by choosing exactly where we're going to be born, like the day, the place, and the time that we're going to enter Earth school. And that solidifies our soul's blueprint. We come into this world on day one, we know exactly who we are, exactly what we're here to do. And on day two, we start forgetting all of it. And then we discover human design at some point in our lives, and we start to remember and get full permission to be who we really are. So there's so many different layers to human design. There's energy types, there's profiles, there's centers, there's gates, which are our specific gifts. There are these variables, there's north nodes, south nodes, because there's some astrology influence in human design. But the energy types are, as you mentioned, generator, manifesting generator, manifestor, projector, and reflector. And that's as deep as most people go in their design. And it's very helpful to know your energy design or energy type. And of course, even more valuable to go all the way down the rabbit hole. Do you know your energy type, Tracy?
I don't, but I was going to ask you, because I have this little challenge in that I'm adopted. So I was curious if any of your clients that you've ever worked with were adopted, because it makes it difficult to, I've always been curious, because I totally understand and believe in this whole soul blueprint concept. But then when choices are made for you, like I've always been curious about, and I don't know if we can solve this today, but you know, with the choice of coming into the world, was the birth mother a portal, or was that, or did something go wrong after the decision was made? And then secondly, what about the, like, not knowing the exact, like if you're adopted, you may not know the exact time of which you were born. And so can you still discover this human design component with those two factors being at play?
Yeah. So first thing, I would say yes, your soul, basically the birth mother was the portal, and your adoptive family was probably supposed to be the people to actually like protect you and actually raise you.
Okay.
Just like people say, well, I was born by C-section. Yeah, your soul chose that. in terms of the time, there is something called, I believe it's called regression, that astrologers can use to find the exact time for you.
I mean, I kind of know the range. I think it was like 1:30 to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So oh, yeah. I
so that could be on your specific date in that place. It's possible that nothing changes in that 30-minute window. It's also possible that things change every single minute. I have a friend who's adopted who has a time on her birth certificate, but I don't think it's accurate. Because her chart is actually the only one I've ever done that doesn't feel quite right.
Interesting. Yeah, I've just always had such a curiosity about that. And I mean, it's, you know, it's just one of those variables that you have in your life that you accept as part of your journey. But it's also really interesting to, you know, and we could talk for hours going down that rabbit hole. So we'll probably have to continue that conversation after the podcast. But it is, it's a fascinating thing to take into consideration. And then there's a lot of things that have been written around the primal wound and things like that. So I'm really glad actually that those sort of conversations are coming to light around children that were given up for adoption, because it really does impact you in ways that people don't necessarily really understand. Like, you don't know what it feels like to look like someone else. You don't know what it feels like to, like, you could be born with this bright red curly hair that is gorgeous, but nobody in your family has it, and you don't look like anybody in your family, which is not my case. But I'm just saying, like, it is a very odd thing growing up, not having really understanding what that genetic connection feels like. So you always feel somewhat a little bit isolated within the realm of your family, because you, on a conscious level, you know that you don't share the same biological genes. So it's just an interesting thing to think about in terms of this human design as well.
I agree. I think there's also, like, I know I can see that genetically for me, there's a lot of my features that, oh, look, it's my mom plus my dad. And I always looked at my parents and was like from a very young age, and was like, how did I come to from you two? Like, I have like nothing in common with these people. And yet I know I chose them as my parents.
Interesting. So fascinating. Well, and then the opposite of that, like with me, people would never know that I was not my father's daughter. Because we are so incredibly alike. So we don't necessarily favor each other in terms of visual aesthetics, but we are our personality types and what we even do, you know, in our careers and things like that is just, I've always had a strong connection with him. So it's very interesting that you say that. And I think that's the case too, across the board with families. A lot of people have told me I was born genetically into my family and I'm the biggest oddball that there is within my family unit. So how does this, once someone discovers this human design component, and that's so amazing that you utilize this in your professional career to really help people walk this path, what is the value in understanding which energy that you are, and how can people leverage that to find their own joy? Mm.
So understanding your human design is like the biggest permission slip. For me, there was so much as I learned more and more about my design that was like, oh, I knew it. So for like in my business, there was so much stuff that these business coaches kept saying, Kelsey, you have to do it this way. I recently wrote an email about how early on in my business, I had business coaches, which I now lovingly refer to as business bullies, tell me, Kelsey, you have to choose triathlon or entrepreneurship. You have to choose teaching core classes or being a transformational coach. And don't show your muscles in any photos that you share on social media, because people will be confused if they think you're an athlete. Then they'll think you aren't as legit as a transformational coach. They'll think you aren't as intuitive. They'll think that you aren't a legit human design reader.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. I mean, that is whack crazy. Isn't it?
And to all of it, I was like, what? I don't believe it at all. And yet, these are the experts. So there's like, it's like it took up rent in this teeny tiny place in my brain. It was like, I don't believe that. And yet, it just planted a seed way back in the back of my head. And then I learned human design, learned that I'm a manifesting generator. We are multi-passionate individuals. And for me, that means I'm just as lit up and excited about teaching core classes as I am about doing a human design reading, as I am about coaching, as I am about creating delicious recipes, as I am about riding my bike. All of these things just make joy bubbles flow through my body. And it feels so good. I actually just recently released my first core class that people can buy because it makes me feel so good to be able to show like all of myself in my business instead of hiding like, well, there's this huge part of me that I like this huge part of my life, but you don't get to see that. I'm just going to put myself in a cage, which is how we started this adventure, Kelsey realizing that she's not made for cages. I'm just going to put myself in a cage and call myself only a human design reader. Nah. Doesn't right. fit for me.
No. And that's, I mean, I think sometimes figuring out what's not a fit is equally as important as figuring out what is a fit.
Oh, absolutely. It's so powerful for all of us to be able to recognize, I call it the not this, to declare, I don't know what I want, but not this. And then to trust yourself and the universe enough to let go of the not this to make space for the this.
Okay, I'm going to restate that. So let go of the not this so that you can discover the this. Is that how you said it? Yeah, that is very powerful.
There's so many people, if you think about people like changing careers or even relationships, they'll be like, I hate my job, but what am I going to do if I don't do this? Well, you're not going to find out until you get rid of that thing you hate.
Yeah, which is, there's a tremendous amount of fear associated with that for obvious reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. We need money. We all want security. We want to eat.
What would you share with a client if you are a coaching client that when they were saying back to you, like, I know that this is not what is this. I know this is my not this, but and I can't, and maybe they might even know what their this is, but what do you share with them to help them build that bridge from going to not this to this?
Well, first of all, energetically, there's a huge amount of power in admitting out loud, not this. And then, yes, the getting clarity on what the this is wonderful if you can do it. But also knowing that sometimes you don't know, but you can usually get a whole lot of clarity about how you want to feel. You might not know the specifics about the actual job you want, but you know how you want to feel. You want to feel free. You want to feel expansive. You want to feel inspired. You want to feel connected, whatever it is for you. Get really clear on that. And then trust like a mofo. So here's how I think about it. Imagine you are going out to eat at a restaurant, a brand new restaurant. You're out there with your friends and you need to use the restroom. So you get up and you go ask the host where the restroom is. They say down the hall to the left. You go down the hall, see a door on your left. So you try and open it. It won't open. And you jiggle it and you jiggle it and you try and force it open and it won't open. Guess why? Because that is the storage closet and you are not supposed to pee in there. But if you keep walking, you will find another door on your left and it will open up into the most palatial restroom you have ever seen. The kind where you go in and you just like forget that you need to go to the bathroom and you're just like in awe of the beauty around you. Just trust that the universe will bring you exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And I know this sounds super like airy-fairy, and it's like the hardest thing to do. I'm not saying I'm good at this at all. I'm just reminding the other humans that are listening to this, the universe really, truly will bring you exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And sometimes the universe thinks it's bringing us things so fast, and we're like, dude, it's been months, it's been years. I really want this. Can you please bring it to me? And the universe is like, I got you. You're not ready yet. We need to bring you some other stuff. Just trust.
Well, the other thing I like about your story, which I think is a great example, but the other thing that I want to kind of highlight about that story is that it begins with you ask a question, someone gives you direction, and you follow that direction to the letter, and it's just not what's right for you. So that person did say, go this way, and the door, you know, the first door on the left, but and that kind of, to me, circles back to this business bullying advice, which I love the idea of the business bullying. I've had it frequently in my life. And you just know what you know, and you know what you don't know sometimes. And so following somebody's direction and ending up in a place that the door doesn't open, then just keep walking, right? So it may have been what was right for them. And we're really taking this metaphor to like exponential, you know, interrogation right now. But the reality of the situation is sometimes people give you advice on what worked for them or what they think will work for you, but it's so not true to who you are on the inside. And especially when it comes to business. And I even want to distill that further into women in business, because we get so many conflicting messages, even in 2021, about how you can't be too nice, you can't be this, you got to be this. And I mean, we've come a long way, but there's still so much of that out there. So how do you help people weed through the advice that might be right for the masses, but isn't right for the individual?
This is one of my passions, because I really truly believe that we all have the answers within us. And somebody else telling you what to do, how to do it, where to go, it feels good on some level to be like, oh, like release your personal responsibility and have somebody else tell, give you directions. And yet, on a soul level, it typically feels gross. Most of us know, no, that's not how I want to do it. And this is why I'm so passionate about coaching, because coaching asks questions and says, you have all the answers. Let's bring out your own brilliance. What, you know, just keep digging. Just keep digging on the answers within you. I say what I learned a long time ago was mentors are going to tell you how they did it. Consultants are going to tell you how to do it, which may or may not be for you. And a coach is just going to bring the answers right out of you, because those are the answers that are going to be true for you. Those are the ones that are going to be aligned with your soul. And those are the ones that are actually going to create ease for you. And you know what I just thought of? As I mentioned, I ran this morning. And on my run, I did not look at my watch at all until the last 30 seconds to see that time was up, because I was running for 30 minutes. And I happened to descend each mile by 10 seconds without looking at my watch. Now, if my coach had said, I want you to run for 30 minutes and descend by 10 seconds every mile, I would have made such a mess out of that.
And I couldn't have even done the math on that.
There's no way. Like, I would have been looking at my watch. I would have been going too fast, too slow, totally herky jerky. And it just would have been absolute chaos. And yet it's what my body did naturally. And for me, like, I wrote down, remember this. This is such an example of how much wiser your body is than your mind. My body is filled with wisdom. Trust it.
And your run was probably a ton more fun because you weren't tied to looking at your time on your watch.
Oh my God.
You were just enjoying your run, which speaks volumes for the whole idea of you were in your happy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I were, I would have felt like I was in a cage again. Here's a theme. Kelsey doesn't like cages. And cages are not for humans. We are not here to be put in a box. We're not here to have a label slapped on us. Those things come from us trying to help other people understand us, because it's easier for other people to put us in a category, but it's never actually true. No human can be distilled with one single label, or even like five labels. We are all so much more than that.
Right. And I think it's such an important time in our world and in our country, with everything that has basically come to the surface over the last 18 months, that I think it's more important than ever to recognize that we're not siloed by our gender or by our race or by what's going on with our personal choices, and just really, but there's so much noise out there trying to send conflicting messages that I think the work that you're doing right now is more important than it may have ever been. The time is now for people to understand this process.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about human design and why I fell in love with it is it gave me something to point to for my clients, something solid where I could look at their chart and say, look, you have this gift, or you don't have this gift. So why are you trying to act like you do?
I love that. Why are you putting that square peg in that round hole and making yourself miserable?
Yes. Let me think of an example.
I got plenty of my life if you need one.
I think of a specific human design example, but like, for instance, there is a gift called the gift of grace and charm. Some people have this. And some people don't. And knowing who has it and who doesn't can be really helpful for relationships. A few years ago, I was trying to figure out Christmas plans with my parents. And my mom was starting the guilt trip situation. She was like, well, it's too late for us to come down there. They're up in New England. Are you guys going to come up? And I was like, I really am not psyched about that long drive. And it just, the whole thing doesn't feel good. My husband happens to have the gift of grace and charm. So he emailed my mom and said exactly what I would have said. And she responded, like inviting my parents to come visit us. She responded, oh, what a lovely invitation. Everything is perfect. And booked their flights and they were coming down. It's that energy of the grace and charm. I know I don't have it. I know it's not going to go well if I ask my mom, but I know it will go totally differently if you do.
Well, I can flip that upside down and tell you I am wired with the gift of grace and charm. And sometimes it is a blessing and sometimes it is a curse, because you don't always clearly communicate exactly what it is that you want to say because you're doing it so gracefully and with so much charm. So
I love hearing the other side of it.
Oh, yes. Trust me. Yes, it is. It is something that I'm well recognized for, but also something internally that I struggle with because there's a little 5-year-old in me going, I really want to say this. So one day, Kelsey, you might be breaking through my barriers and I'll just be like, wait a second. I'm no more grace and charm. This is it. This is how I feel. This is what I'm saying. And this is what I'm meaning to say. But I do have a friend who taught me this one time and I've never forgotten it. And she said, say what you mean what you say, and say it without being mean. Mm-hmm. Now that I can live by, because that is in alignment with my true, you know, because I truly am very sensitive, not only personally, but to other people's feelings. But I think there are appropriate times, without a doubt, and most always you really do need to 100%, actually, not just appropriately, but just 100% say what you mean what you say, and say it without being mean. And if we could all do that, imagine that would achieve world peace, right?
Wouldn't it? Just tell the truth.
Yeah, always. And Martha Beck recently released a book on integrity where she did this experiment for 1 year where she literally never, she, a New Year's resolution she had, I'm going to not lie about anything for one calendar year. And for her, it ended up in divorce, coming out that she was gay and renouncing her religion. So it was a pretty powerful year for her personally, but taking away so much of what she was saying in terms of, if you just always tell the truth, then you will always be on your right path. And when she uses the word integrity, she's not talking about moral integrity. She's talking about like structural integrity. She uses the metaphor of a plane. It has structural integrity. That's why it can fly. And so I love that.
I love that too. And I feel like that whole book, for me, what she calls integrity, I call it alignment. I feel like I'm like, Martha, we're in the same place. We are absolutely in the same place. And can I just mention for a second, have you listened to her podcast, Bewildered?
I have not listened to her podcast, Bewildered. Honestly, I've watched so many of her being interviewed on other podcasts because I'm such a huge fan, but I have not even listened to her own podcast. That's crazy.
Oh, well, I highly recommend it. She does it with her partner, Rowan Mangan, and Ro has the world's best laugh.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Wow. That's on my to-do list for today, which is a perfect way to ask you about a takeaway. So my takeaway clearly is I'm going to download and follow Martha Beck's podcast like yesterday. And I would love it if you would share with our audience just something that they could put into place, do today that would help them be their own instigator of joy and find their own awesome.
So I want to distill this, but I the biggest thing that's coming through right now is tell the truth, as we were just saying. Tell the truth to yourself. Tell the truth if something is not for you. Tell the truth to yourself and to the universe. And if you're brave enough, tell it to other people. And in doing so, you're going to tell the truth about what brings you joy and start to follow it.
I could not agree with that takeaway, probably more so than any takeaway in the history of Journey to There, 100 plus episodes. Like, that might be my all-time favorite takeaway. Oh, Kelsey, I could talk to you for forever. I hate that we need to wrap up, but I am so excited that we got connected. I feel like I found a like-minded sister. And I want so many other people to be able to discover you. So how can people find you, connect with you, and how can people continue this conversation with you?
So thank you so much, Tracy. I've had so much fun, and I'm really excited to play with you more in the future.
Oh, thank you. I accept that invitation.
Excellent. People can find me on my website, kelseyabbott.com, and my podcast, The Find Your Awesome Podcast,
which is one of the best podcast titles of all time. Oh, so, you know, being a podcast producer in my real life, I have to applaud the name for your podcast, and also have to just acknowledge, I can't believe I didn't know Martha Beck had one. I'm going to go download it right now. So thank you, Kelsey, for your time. Thank you for putting so much joy out into the world. And thank you for sharing your journey to there.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you for listening to the Journey to There podcast. Visit our website at journeytothere.com. Leave a voice message or fill out the contact form. Tell us what raw, unfiltered, and real guest or topic you'd like to hear next. Head on over to iTunes and share the love by leaving us a review. Till next time, cheers to what's possible.